Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
In a world where your every move is documented online, attempting to retain any kind of perfectly polished image is difficult to say the least, especially in an industry such as music, where your value isn't only counted in currency, but how cool you are believed to be by the masses. Within the social media dominated landscape where everything is filed for everyone to see, even some of the artists deemed to be the coolest in the world have slipped up too, sometimes literally. But how do you try to gather and sustain an audience when most of the hip-hop fanbase have always thought you were a lame? Because if there's any problem that has plagued the Canadian rapper known to the world as Dax for his entire career, it's this one. As try as he might, he spent more time being a punchline in the genre than anything close to being treated as a serious artist.
And then he said he would beat me in a boxing match.
KSI, I'm cut from a different cloth.
This circus act monkey.
This is all you need. I'll give you one of those.
Yeah, I knew this was delusional, so I just left it. I mean, you guys gotta remember, this is the same guy that said he was gonna win a Grammy and an Oscar in the same year. So he's clearly not all right in the head. Or maybe he's just extremely optimistic. But hey, prove me wrong, Dax.
Yet through it all, he'd keep going regardless, amassing a unique fan base and millions of views. The only problem is it's hard to tell whether most of those clicks are coming from supporters or from people who've just come aboard to mock him.
What the f-
I needed somewhere to keep up the sticks. I didn't want my fam. Imbalance inside me chemically up, down.
Excuse me, hello? Why are you acting like a bitch?
Because I gave you too many chances to understand that.
Shut that shit up!
It's your boy Luesta, and this is why Dax can't escape being the corniest rapper alive. But first, let's work out how he got branded with this very unfortunate label to begin with. Dax's come-up story is a simple one of an average working individual striving for something greater. Raised in Ottawa, Canada, Dax knew that he wanted a taste of the good life, although originally, he didn't know exactly what it was he was looking for, and basically fell into rapping in a strange, circular fashion. Amid his well-documented years spent as a janitor, Dax caught his break when inspiration struck in an unlikely fashion.
Went to prep school, went to junior college in Casper, Wyoming, finally got to Division I at the University of Montana. That didn't work out. Transferred to D2 back in Kansas at Newman University, became an overnight janitor, started writing poetry. The poetry turned into music, and now I do it full time.
After doing several remixes of popular tracks, the release of a US election-themed remix of Timmy Turner caused a lot of commotion more than anyone could have expected.
I'm walking to the mall, and Designer, at that time, had dropped Timmy Turner. He drops Timmy Turner, and I love the song. I was like, I used to listen to all types of music, but then I loved it. So I'm just walking to the...
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
The mall, and I just go, Hilly Clinton, Monster Trump, and now we tripping. Thank God I got a passport. Couple months I'm going missing, right back to Canada. Cause it's violent, looting and riots, wilding.
Yeah.
Democratic party crying, all the Republicans smiling. So I made that.
Oh, yeah.
So I recorded that video, put it on Instagram, and it was doing better than like any video I'd ever posted.
Alongside a novelty track dubbed Catch Me Outside, alongside Daniel Bergoli, which garnered 22 million views, Dax's output was initially very geared towards YouTube, as while he made tracks of his own, he quickly realized that the songs of other peoples that he repurposed were what were truly doing numbers. And from his early days onward, Dax exhibited a whole lot of skill when it came to just sheer rapping ability that had some fans suggesting his lyrical miracle style that was deeply indebted to Eminem, was part of the antidote to scenes like mumble and SoundCloud rap. But the problem was that his corny lyrics and attempts to capitalize on big existing songs meant that it was nearly impossible to truly rock with, as even those who admired him on some level were deterred by his antics. Just look at this poll, which the winning vote was that he's technically okay, but too cringy. But while the issues people took with his lyrics were one thing, the reputation he was beginning to build for himself away from the mic only cemented the idea that he was about as lame as they come.
I guess there's Dax, but like...
I didn't know him, that's it.
I mean, but he's a poor man's Hobson, and Hobson is a poor man's Eminem.
And so Eminem why is would... a poor man's Kendrick.
Yeah, and Eminem's a poor man's Kendrick, so why would anyone want to listen to a poor man's poor man?
Although the person who really deserved all of the smoke was the guy who said that Eminem was a poor man's Kendrick, these comments about Dax were enough to start beef between the British streamer turned rapper and Dax. Following a diss track aimed at KSI between him and Quadeca, things progressed to the point that it looked like it was going to come to blows. And it's fair to say that the plans to box KSI didn't help, particularly because of how he acted like he was ready to throw hands.
So when am I fighting KSI? Right now, it looks like it's either going to be right before my tour or right after my tour. You know, obviously to go on tour, I signed a contract and I'm being paid thousands of dollars, so I gotta check in with them to make sure just like what are the stipulations, because obviously get a concussion is not something you can do before a 55 show tour across all of America. So if that checks out, then I'll fight them right after when I get off tour, probably a couple weeks after, just to get a couple training in. But I'm starting training tomorrow. But either way, the fight's going down.
But it really became a bad look when he later backed out of the fight. Despite KSI meeting Dax's overly ambitious requirements for the fight to go down, including a 5-star hotel, 5-class flights, and a car with a personalized license plate to take him to the airport. Clearly, Dax's brief window of fame up to that point made him believe that he should be treated like a star above all else. Because while this was the first, this wasn't the only instance of him being a diva. During his early career, Dax was intent on upholding a real air of pleasantness and acting like he was there to inspire the masses. But it was soon revealed that he was capable of being way more two-faced and self-serving than he'd like you to believe. Among the most notable examples of this came when Dax snaked fellow rapper Crypt over a feature. Originally, the two worked together on a KSI diss track before they were encouraged to collaborate again after initially attempting to charge him $3,000 on a feature. After they negotiated a price of a grand, Crypt decided to proceed, even though he'd been given prior warning over what could go wrong, including a half-assed verse. But from there, things just kept getting worse.
So this is where things start to get really sour for me. So I sent him the beat, told him where to start rapping, and told him to have fun with it. Dax never texted me back after that. I got an email from his producer, like, really late that night with what he sent me, but Dax never told me that it was sent or anything. I think I actually saw it, like, the next morning.
After he delivered a brief contribution, Quadeca and Screwface were enlisted to make the track more robust. Upon hearing that, Dax demanded to re-record his contribution, and almost instantly, it was believed that he had sent subliminals to his fellow YouTube rappers on the track.
But he hears Screws and Quadeca's and he's like, you know, resend it. I want resend it with my part out. I want to redo mine. Which is already an instance, like, one, he knows the first verse he sent me was not good. And two, that's just a no-no. You don't change your verse when you hear somebody else's because you feel some type of way about your own verse. You realize it's not that good. But regardless, he changes his verse to what you guys hear now. And there's a line in there that clearly is a shot at all of us on the song, where he's talking about three dudes and a goat, saying that, you know, all three of us, Quadeca, me, and Screw, are just dudes. And that he's the GOAT. He's on the track. Like, he's the greatest of all time. It's just three of us with him on this song that turned it into a hit single. And Screw was fucking pissed. Like, he was livid, called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning, mad as fuck over this. So everybody's gonna hear the song and realize he has the worst verse on the song. And if you listen to the song, like, punchlines, flow, like, stuff that we're talking about, he has the worst verse on that song. And I even said this back when I thought very highly of Dax. I have seen Dax put so much effort into a song before, and like, just seeing this, like, after seeing him put effort into a song, it really hurt. Like, it really bothered me that he would do that to me. Somebody that's shown him nothing but respect and praised him highly.
After the controversy surrounding it emerged, he then backpedaled and tried to disavow the song.
What I'm so upset about is that he lied to me, because my fans see that he's not pushing the song and they're questioning him on it. I never said anything about it. Never said anything about Dax not pushing the song. My fans realized it. They realized he wasn't doing shit with it. And they're hitting him up in the DMs like, why aren't you sharing this song? And the thing that irritates me the most is that he said he didn't like the song or believe in it at all. Even though, like, he's telling me in messages that it's fire and that it's legendary, he's excited for the video to drop, send me the song so I can put it in my drive, but then behind my back saying that he doesn't like the song at all, doesn't believe in it, the video and audio is not up to quality and all this other shit. It's like, bro, if you don't like the fucking song, tell me. Don't just go behind my back saying it's shit. Don't lie to my face. I can't fucking stand a liar.
But this then led to subsequent diss tracks, leading them to finally reconcile down the road.
And he messaged me on Twitter with a very, very nice, long, sincere, heartfelt, man-to-man apology. Even if he said he's sorry on publicly and stuff like that, that doesn't mean shit to me. But if you say it to me in person where nobody else can see your games, nobody else can, you're not putting on a show for anybody else, that's when it feels genuine to me.
But this was far from the only instance where he was accused of being a conniving scam artist.
From the start, the set price was not given. They intentionally told Dario to pay through PayPal friends and family, knowing he wouldn't be able to get purchase protection, wouldn't give the down payment back even though it was not specified that it was non-refundable, pressured him with saying his friends were wrong and that this may be the biggest feature he ever gets, refused to drive less than an hour to sign a contract which was desperately needed at this point, and then tried to get Dario to pay $2,000 without a contract to sign a contract.
On top of flagrantly dipping after taking a fee for a track, there were also claims he'd stolen a song from the deceased Lil Peep.
The story goes that a rapper named Blaine had bought a Lil Peep verse from another rapper named Derek Dean, who was one of Lil Peep's close friends before he had died. While Blaine was making his new song, he got another rapper on as well named Love Sad Kid, but Lil Peep had sadly passed away before it was done, but they still wanted to release the song. The only thing was that with the new mix, there was an extra spot on it, so Ruiner ended up being able to get Dax actually involved in the project, and got him on the song with the agreement that the song would be put on Dax's channel with everyone getting their proper credit for the work they put into it. Dax then asked for the stems for the song so that he would be able to get it all approved by Atlantic. For those of you who don't know what stems are, they're basically the different layers that make up the components of a song. Dax had also said that no one was going to steal anything from Blaine and that he had absolutely nothing to worry about. Dax took the Lil Peep hook, got a brand new producer to make a new beat for the song, got the producer to mix Lil Peep's hook again, deleted everybody else's verses off of the song, and recorded two new verses to put on in their spots instead. And to make things worse, Dax ended up actually recording a music video for the new version of the song, and where Peep's verses were, he stole footage from Lil Peep's photographer and used those.
Now, stealing a track from an up-and-coming artist like Blaine by taking the stems and stripping everything else would have been already bad enough. But when you realize that he was actually using music from a deceased artist, trying to boost his own image off the fame that Peep gained after his death, it suddenly becomes a really bad look. However, the good times of getting away with everything scot-free wasn't going to last forever, because soon he was about to get embarrassed online over a diss track. Released back in January 2019, Dax unveiled I'm Not Joyner or Don Q in response to his countryman Tory Lanez claiming that he was the hardest rapper out. For the most part, Dax kept it rap and didn't veer towards any personal territory. But for the hot-headed Tory, it wasn't enough. So he decided to catch up with him and made Dax apologize in front of the entire world.
Come here, or this shit's not gonna end, my. Or this is not gonna end. Apologize, bro. Apologize, bro. Or you know what's going on. Apologize, my. Apologize.
I got you, bro.
Apologize.
Got you, man.
Say sorry.
My bad for this.
Say sorry.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Alright, bet.
I got you.
And when Lanez was asked why he ran up on him like this, he claims he did it purely because he could.
Why'd you post the video? Because you did post the video. Why did you?
Posted a video of him saying, sorry. Because I felt like, at the end of the day, this is funny to me. Now my adrenaline's high. I just seen you run down the street. This is now funny to me, and now this is entertaining, and this is the prize of my entertainment. The disrespect I thought that you had, it just you still had it, but you just weren't that guy in front of my face. So I found it wild and amusing.
Although opinion was split on whether Tory's behavior was embarrassing in itself, Dax claimed it wasn't corny whatsoever, and said that his restraint showed a better way.
My thing is, why did you apologize on camera?
First of all, let me say this, my G.
What me and Tory Lanez did last night is the biggest revolution in hip-hop history. We've totally revolutionized the game.
You what? See,
things don't need to end in brutality and fatality. It set a standard for 2019 that things don't need to end poorly. You know, people want to get back home to their families. He did what he had to do. I did what I had to do. Made it back to my family. I'm good. I have no animosity towards him or anybody. You don't have to let your pride get the best of you in a compromising situation. Let it lead to your parents living longer than you.
In isolation, that one statement might have actually yielded him some goodwill. Instead, Dax basically made a whole press run out of it. As at the end of the day, this was the closest he'd ever been to an artist who had charted.
Thing pulls up, now I'm running, boom, 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 boom.
Dudes run after me, boom, boom, boom. I'm on the floor at one point. This is not that serious. I calm down like crazy. And then like everyone else calmed down. Yeah, I was like, dog, over a diss track? Like, I was like, bro, I'm trying to go home, bro. He's like, Dax, come here. I'm like, dog, bro, I'm hungry, dog.
Yeah.
And then I walk to the car, and that's when you see me on the car, like tired as shit. Just like, I've always told myself, like, I'm never gonna let social media make me make dumb decisions.
Mm. But even with the notoriety the situation presented, it did nothing to get him closer to his goals of winning Grammys, Oscars, and every other award imaginable. All it bought him was his reputation as the corniest rapper alive being almost cemented.
Nah, I can't, I just can't. It's like, come on, bro, this is corny. Ain't this the guy that said sorry to Tory Lanez or something?
Amid all the damage he'd taken, it's truly surprising that Dax managed to keep it pushing and didn't fade into obscurity. It appears that no matter what you throw at Dax, he'll find a way to perverse through the hate. As at this point, even those who see him as a laughingstock had to give him credit for conjuring up an audience.
Dax, let's see what his Spotify listeners are saying. He said he was gonna make it at this point. I'm pretty sure he said he was gonna make it in the music industry by now. 2.1 million. You know what? Fair play. I don't know if that's made it. I guess maybe for you.
Besides that, Dax isn't completely oblivious to how the world views him, even referencing it on tracks like The Next Rap God 2, while also claiming that he's amongst the best there is.
They say I say nothing, that I'm corny and outdated. If I rapped in the 90s, I'd probably be famous.
As well as claiming, the industry's sick, Dax is the vaccine. Top 5 in this bitch, at least the past 3. But no matter how hard he tries, nobody's backing this diss track. Except for people who don't really listen to rap in the first place. Dax makes music for white people that have never encountered a black person in real life. What makes matters worse is how he's vying for his hero Slim Shady's attention to the point that it was cringe-inducing. Most notably, this plea at the end of a music video. Dear Eminem, you never called, so I made this. Hit me up. Slotted into the informal subgenre of coworker music, his rep as rap for people who don't normally engage in the genre was only furthered when he moved into country, with tracks like Dear Alcohol, which actually went platinum. And in this lane, he's also making his own blatant retreats of other artists' music, where he ceases to be the savior of lyrical miracle rap, to instead just do anything that would make him a buck. Granted, he definitely seems to have helped people with the track.
I want to even talk about Dear Alcohol and depression, because those two songs, I know a lot of people, I was scrolling through the comments, it resonated with me, but it resonated with a lot of people on YouTube too. You're really helping people out there, man.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories that people have been sending me because of Dear Alcohol. So yeah, I've heard a lot of stories, a lot of people getting the lyrics tattooed. It's crazy. Alcohol is really, you know, and it's glamorized too. So it's really a problem that I think society really sweeps under the rug. So yeah, I've received a lot of heartwarming messages.
But now he seems to be trying to replicate that with cynical calls to action, with captions like, can anyone relate, even if he doesn't actually spell it correctly. Seeking to carve out a niche as the voice of the disenfranchised, he's took this a step further by working on music alongside MAGA rappers such as Tom McDonald, with his need to cater to this niche prompting one infamous line in a track where he forgave white people for slavery on behalf of black people. If you have a favorable view of Dax, then maybe he is truly trying to bridge gaps and educate. He may be pandering or exploiting these nuanced issues for his own gain.
Yeah, for me, it's all about the words. I write songs that and are about things I've been through, that I'm trying to avoid, manifest, or that I've seen. So a lot of mental health things, you know.
And for his biggest naysayers, these attempts to be profound landing flat are a crucial part of his corniness. I think the biggest thing with a lot of coworker music is that they're trying to be too deep, but it's extremely not personal. Listening to someone like Dax sing about their struggles has the same vibe as the rich kid in middle school doing an essay on poverty. In the midst of struggling to move beyond his corny label, his near constant promotion of a 5-year-old song known as Joker really isn't helping.
You're insane. You're in pain. I can tell by what you're saying, but my bad.
Instead, it has only fed into the content of a TikTok creator known as Danny Anine, whose videos often equate to him basically laughing at Dax.
Chemically up, down. There's no pain. I have no feelings. Maybe you think I'm fucking weak and now is this doing? I'm bleeding. Maybe you think I'm just stupid and then I'm cheating.
In fact, the culture of clowning him is so enforced to the point that he can't even claim an Uber driver was bumping his track without it being met with mockery. This is the 9th Uber driver I've seen play one of your songs. Do you just hold them at gunpoint? The driver was definitely forced to play this shit. Set to embark on a US tour, he succeeded against all odds. Because ultimately, people who aren't aware of the internet and hip-hop's perception of him may be able to take the music at face value and find something that they enjoy. But unfortunately for Dax, that ship has sailed with much of his target audience long ago. And if he ever hoped to be beloved in that lane, then he's going to spend his entire life chasing something that's not forthcoming. Still, get your bag while you can, Dax. You've come a long way from those janitor days. It's your boy Luesta, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.